We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Darryl, let's talk injuries. Let's begin there. It looks like, again, the Browns will be without their two starting corners, although the second teamers have played extremely well. Rashard Higgins, even though he practiced all week, is not expected to play. Don't know about Morgan Burnett. Callaway back in the mix. What do you got there in terms of injuries and throwing Callaway, even though it wasn't an injury there, Darryl?
Yeah, I mean, he's activated. Callaway will return punts tonight, maybe get some work on offense. Freddie Kitchen said they need to get his endurance up so he can play consecutive plays and that. So it'll be interesting to see just how much where Callaway gets. I'm pretty sure he will not be punished tonight by being made to play every single snap.
Oh, a little shot at Hugh Jackson there. Still feisty, Darryl. I like it.
Yeah, so Rashard Higgins, not a surprise. Limited at practice except for the walkthrough or whatever they did on
what is
Saturday.
Wrong with this guy, Darryl?
He's got a knee injury.
Well, why is he practicing every week and then he never plays? What's going on there?
Well, it's consistently inconsistent when he practices. Sometimes he practices, sometimes he doesn't practice. But when he does practice, he's often limited. So he did something to his knee. They've kind of kept it real quiet, the significance of the injury. But obviously it's significant because this will be the fourth game that he will miss because of it. The two starting corners, Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams, no surprise there. They didn't practice for a second straight week. They'll miss their third straight. And, again, not a surprise. And the good news is, as you guys alluded to, both T.J. Carey and Terrence Mitchell have done an outstanding job on the back end of that defense filling in for those two.
What's the latest on Morgan Burnett?
Well, he practiced, so I think that there's a good chance that we will see him active and see him play tonight. So that's kind of the latest on him. You know, he, of course, missed some time, but he on Saturday, they listed him officially as questionable. But if my memory serves me correctly, he was a full participant on Saturday. So I think that there's a chance he does go tonight.
We're talking with Dangerous Darryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. We were talking about this earlier, Darryl, when it comes to the offensive line, right? You got a big challenge with this Niners defensive line. Obviously, Bosa, Buckner's been really good, D Ford. The list goes on and on. They've got a talented group there. And the Browns offensive line played extremely well last week against the Ravens. They'd been, you know, so-so, a little below average, I'd say, in the first three games. Do you believe they kind of found something last week, or do you think it's going to be up and down based on the opponent?
I think it could be up and down based on the opponent. This defensive front they're facing is pretty tough tonight. You mentioned, you know, Armstead, Buckner, and Ford have two sacks apiece through three games. I didn't even mention Nick Bosa. So I think that they're going to have their hands full, but the way you neutralize them pinning their ears back and getting after Baker Mayfield is by effectively running the football. And so that identity that you heard Baker Mayfield last week talk about feeling like they found against the Ravens, you know, I think that that game plan where you try and wear down the defense a little bit on the ground and you pop them over the top, you know, Baltimore came into last week's game, one of the better teams against the run, and the Browns lit them up. Well, the 49ers come in as one of the better teams against the run, but it's a smaller sample size. They've only played three games. You know what I'm saying?
I think you can't read too much into those stats at this point of the season.
Right.
You know?
That's why I mentioned the sample size.
Right.
Is the fact that it is so small. But I think that if they take that approach that they had against the Ravens and replicate it tonight against San Francisco, I really like the Browns' chances. I really do. But I think that we need to caution ourselves of the overreaction from what happened against the Ravens and to think that all the problems have been fixed, everything's solved, and this is what we're going to see for the rest of the year. I think that there's going to be still some bumps in the road here, some things that they're going to sort out. They got guys coming back. Antonio Callaway, they got to kind of work back into the fold here. Once Rashard Higgins gets healthy, then he comes back into the mix a little bit. So it's very simplistic to say, yep, everything's fixed and away we go. But I think that this 49er defense is going to present some things that maybe the Browns haven't seen yet to date. And, they're going to have to probably make some adjustments in-game and, see what they're able to do offensively.
We're talking with our Browns beat reporter, Dangerous Daryl Ryder. By the way, the point spread on this game started at 3.5, went up to 5.5 by this morning.
4.5, Adam.
And now down to 4.5. So now I guess the money, late money coming in on the Browns for whatever that's worth. We talked about the trenches, Daryl, in terms of the Browns O-line and the Niners D-line. Let's look at the other way. The Browns' D-line against the O-line. Both defensive lines are better than both offensive line units in this matchup, especially because the Niners are without Joe Staley. They're at their third-string tight end, left tackle, and that's forced them to use George Kittle to be a blocker, which is advantageous to the Browns because he's their best receiver. I think Myles Garrett obviously is a great player and is one of the keys to this game. If he's causing havoc there, they're going to have to use Kittle to block more, and that's a huge advantage for the Browns, don't you think?
Yeah, no question about it. The fact that Kittle's having to invest his energy instead of catching those passes, that he's having to kind of pick up some of the shortcomings there for the 49ers, that's a major, major advantage. And, we talk about how good that defensive front is for the 49ers. Well, the Browns' defensive front is, playing pretty well. Myles Garrett's got 6 sacks. Larry Ogunjobi's got 3 sacks. Olivier Vernon is off the schneid. He's got a sack. So, Joe Schobert's been a tackling machine and making plays. Let's not forget Jermaine Whitehead, and especially him and his impact a week ago helping create those 3 turnovers, and we know that the 49ers are, they're prone to turning the ball over. They create turnovers as well, but they'll also turn it over too. So I agree with you, Bull. I think that the 49ers defensive front has the advantage against the Browns offensive front, but on the flip side, I definitely give the Browns a decided advantage defensively going against that Niner offensive line.
Talk with our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. Daryl, what do the Browns have to do to get Odell Beckham Jr. the football?
Well, I think that they did a good job last week capitalizing on all the attention. I don't know that every team is going to come into the game thinking if we take Odell out of the mix, we're going to win.
But even if they do, Daryl, let me just jump in for a second. Because even if they do, it won't matter. He's still,
right.
Teams have made him the focus of the game plan before and not been, Humphrey's a good corner and it was circumstances, whatever. The Niners could go in with that plan tonight and it won't work.
Right.
Yeah.
But my point is that the Browns did a good job capitalizing on that.
You're right.
And showing everybody, fine, okay, if you want to take 13 out of the mix, pick your poison. We've got other guys to throw at you. Jarvis Landry had 167 yards receiving on 8 catches, and that was in less than 3 full quarters of play. Imagine if he actually played that fourth quarter. He probably could have gotten to 200-plus yards easily. So I think the important thing, though, for the Browns is, and this is something that we saw in the first couple of weeks, don't force it to Odell. If there's a play there to him, sure. You get the ball into his hands by all means, but don't go in tonight thinking that we have to target Odell X amount of times, because then I think what happens is you take Baker off his game, Freddie Kitchens off his game, and that just discombobulates everything. I think that it has to be organic involving him in the offense. And again, I think that the Browns served some notice last week to the rest of the league, hey, you can focus on 13 all you want, but we got 10 other guys on the field that can burn you, and that's what the Browns were able to do. So that's why I anticipate it's not going to be as difficult on Odell tonight, maybe to get some more targets and really get himself into a rhythm. And as we know, history shows he performs extremely well in prime time under the lights.
Yeah, and they don't really have anybody to defend him. We had John Middlecoff earlier. He was talking about Richard Sherman has struggled against Odell, and he struggles with the smaller, you know, faster wide receivers more than the big guys. And their other starting corner is out, Darrell, and they're going with an undrafted rookie at the other starting corner spot. That's a pretty big deal for Beckham, for Landry, whoever, Callaway, whoever you get in the mix.
Yeah, and again, I go back to those quick hitters. You know, last week, Baker wasn't holding on to the ball a long time. He was getting it out, and I think that that's going to be important tonight because that, again, neutralizes that aggressive 49er defensive front, but also, to your point, Bull, with them being shorthanded in their secondary, that gives the Browns an advantage to create some mismatches. And as we saw the last time the Browns played on Monday night, you know, Odell is able to make something of nothing, the great one-handed catch on the sidelines, a basic 10-yard seam route that he turned into an 89-yard touchdown catch and run. So
right. You
don't need to hit the 40, 50, 60-yard bomb down the field. Just get the ball out quick, take advantage of those 10-yard routes, and then allow your playmakers to do what your playmakers do.
I think we talked about this before. You know, when it comes to the Browns' offensive line, it's a little concern against this D-line. And, you know, last week the Browns were in 12 personnel 24 times, Darrell, after doing it just 24 times in the first three games. And I would think, you know, much like we're talking about with George Kittle being used to help double team, I think the Browns are going to have to do the same thing. Fortunately, their tight ends are not as important part of the passing game right now, although we know Ricky Seals-Jones had a good game last week. But I think we'll see a lot of the second tight end being used to block this tough Niner D-line, don't you think?
Yeah, and, you know, I think that obviously Farrell Brown comes into that mix as far as the importance. We saw it where, you know, Chris Hubbard has had his struggles at right tackle. So how did they mitigate that? They put a second tight end next to him and has said, you are glued to his hip for all four quarters and helping out. So I think that that's going to be important. The two tight end sets, having an extra back. Really, the Browns are somewhat hamstrung by the fact that they don't have a traditional fullback that they can throw in there. And that's unfortunate, but, you know, they got to work with what they have. And John Dorsey has elected to not bring in a true fullback. But I really think with what Freddie Kitchens wants to do, I think them not having a fullback is a little bigger deal than a lot of people want to talk about.
Really? Why do you say that? Why do you think it's that big a deal?
Well, I'd rather not have my running backs taking the beating doing the blocking. Mm-hmm. I'd rather just have a big guy in the backfield. His job is to help keep the quarterback clean and open those lanes for my running back. So that's why I feel that way. And also, you don't have to have two blocking tight ends on the field as well. So, you know, I'm curious to see what happens with Ricky Seals-Jones tonight after he had that big game in Baltimore. Big reason why, of course, the attention paid to Odell, which left him wide open a couple of times. I'm interested to see what he's even able to do to follow up on what was a nice afternoon for him.
Who you got tonight, Monday Night Football? What's your pick?
I am, for some reason, and I have to defend myself, I'm 3-1 on the season. I'm going Browns 27, 49ers 23.
3-1 against the spread or 3-1 just picking the winners?
3-1 just picking the winner.
That's a little lame not to do spread.
You know what? I leave that stuff to degenerates like Dustin Fox and Zach Jackson and all that. I leave that to the experts. I just pick the game straight up.
All right, you got the Browns winning?
You said? I got the Browns winning.
What's the score?
27-23.
Close to was my prediction. I had 27-17. Favor of the Browns. All right, you got the over. All right, Darrell. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
Enjoy the game tonight, guys.
Thanks, pal.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.